Good morning. Amen. It's so good to see your faces out there. Look at you. You look so bright and cheerful. What's on your mind this morning? I hope and pray it's Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that we as saints, I don't think we do enough of, and it's something that I know the Lord, He requires, and He really loves this. I was reading in the Psalms about the Psalms, and the Psalms are a great way to praise the Lord. So Cheryl's going to put up a praise psalm up for us, Psalms 145, and while she's doing that, we're going to invite you to our worship service this morning. It seems like I've already said that somewhere before, doesn't it? My phone's right. We welcome you this morning, and we thank the Lord that you're here. And we pray that you came to expect the blessing. Amen. We pray that you coming and looking to leave better than you came in. Now, what am I saying? Better looking? More money? No. I'm talking about spiritually. Amen. Because that's what we're all about, is worship this morning. And the best way that we can worship is to praise the Lord. So I'm going to open up by saying this. Praise the Lord, saints. And you say, praise the Lord. Let me try that again. Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Amen. If you look at Psalms 145, and if you will, it's also, if you have your Bibles with you, you can read along, or it's also on the screen. Listen for God's word. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. I will meditate on your wonderful works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and give you them their food at proper time. You open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who treat him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, for your precious word. Oh Lord, teach us your ways this morning. Open our hearts and our minds, Lord. Open them up to your teaching, to your guidance, and to your love. Those that are seeking this morning, I pray that they will find what they're looking for in you. Those that are hurting this morning, Lord, I pray that you would take away the pain and give them peace and comfort. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for caring about us, and we know you do because you died for us. Thank you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing?
Okay, so according to our announcements today, we have three birthdays and one anniversary. We have Joe Salazar on the 24th, Eileen Kincaid on the 25th, and Donna Walker on the 28th. And the anniversary we have is for Tom and Eileen Kincaid on the 24th. So we get to sing happy birthday. We'll include the anniversary in there too. All right. One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. All right, does anybody have any announcements?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please pray with me. God of the lost, the least, and all who long for home, when we wander from our ways and waste the gifts you have given us, welcome us back, we pray, so that we may celebrate and rejoice in your presence forever through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us prepare for our offering this morning. And if you would you bow with me in prayer, please? Gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to take part in your worship by giving. And help us to remember, Lord, that if we give sparingly, we shall also reap sparingly. But if we give bountifully, we will reap bountifully. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us. And Lord, we don't give to impress. We give because we love you. Thank you, Lord, for all those that give and for those who want to give and cannot. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our reading today is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him in the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the foods, with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thank you. Very good. Very good. Man. Good morning.
Please pray with me. Help us to appreciate the joy that fills heaven over each sinner that repents. Help us to share the same joy. Help us now that we are walking with you to be among those who join you in bringing other lost sheep back to the fold. We know that there are many other prodigals, which, like ourselves, who need them to return to you. Please give us the privilege of seeing the lost and returning to you. In Christ, amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, help us to remember and help us to be focused on nothing but you this morning. Help our hearts and minds be tuned to you. Help us to tune out all the worldly things. Because, Lord, what you have for us is better than what the world has. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children. Thank you for looking out for us. Help me, Lord, to preach. Help me to tell them and help them to understand. May it be not about me, but about you. Hide me behind the cross. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning, it comes from Romans 8:35. It's on page 887 in your hymnals. It's also up on the screen. Number 887. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? Okay, that's your part. Okay, that's if look in your hymnals if you can't see it on the board, on the screen. Okay, there we go. 887. Thank you. Now, okay. The affirmation from Romans 8:35. 37 through 39, number 887. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? Amen. Amen. Well, folks, good morning. Man, it's so good to be able to preach to you this morning and to tell you that thus saith the Lord and to help us to live a better life, to help us to follow Christ. Our subject this morning is He Threw a Party. How many of you like parties? I'm partial to them. Amen. And when would you throw a party? Anybody? Anytime. I guess a better question is, why would you throw a party? Amen. You want to celebrate. Amen. Well, this story this morning that Jesus told to his followers He told them that about a story about a man who threw a party. So over the last few weeks that we started a new series called Bridge Builders. And one of the things that I'm just so passionate about in this church is we become bridge builders. Now, what is a bridge builder? Well, we talked about it the last few weeks. We talked about we needed to have a blueprint. And then the second week, we talked about we needed a toolbox with the right tools, and those tools were divine tools. So now this is week three, and we're going to talk about another key part of bridge building. And the best example of a bridge builder is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness. He built the bridge between his Father and us so that we could be reconciled to him. So let's see what the Lord has to say this morning about building bridges. You know, the biggest chasm between us today is in our families, our family members. And God is going to teach us something here about bridging, building that bridge of forgiveness in our family. And I want to just start out by telling you a story about two famous preachers in London and England in the 19th century. One was Charles Spurgeon, and the other one was Joseph Parker. And these two ministers, they had two very large churches in London, and they preached and they drew large congregations. Well, one day, Reverend Parker, he commented on the poor condition of the children in Pastor Spurgeon's orphanage. Now, just like how things get back, it got back to Pastor Spurgeon that he was criticizing his orphanage. And the next day, Pastor Spurgeon, he got up in that pulpit and he really let Pastor Parker have it. I mean, he got him good. He got him so good that he got the whole city involved. And they just could not wait to hear what the rebuttal would be from Pastor Parker. So Sunday, Pastor Parker, he got up and he said this. He said, you know, Pastor Spurgeon, he's not going to be able to be in his pulpit today. He's going to be down at his orphanage. So why don't we take up an offering for his orphanage? And the people loved that so much that it says in the story they had to empty the offering plates three times. Three times. I couldn't help but wonder. I wonder if we could do that one day. But they emptied the offering plate three times. They took up an awesome offering for Spurgeon. So one day, Spurgeon knocked on the study of Pastor Parker, and he says, you know, Pastor Parker, you have practiced grace on me. He said, you have given me not what I deserve. You have given me what I need. You know what, folks, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I thank God he doesn't give us what we really and truly deserve. Amen? You know what he gives us? He gives us grace and mercy. He gives us grace and mercy. And that's what that story is about. So, but if you look at this scripture, Luke 15, verses 11 through 16, you see the foundation of our conflict forming. You see, this young man, he wanted his money. Now, he wanted his money. He didn't care. He wanted to go out and see the world, as my dear father-in-law used to always say. He wanted to go out and see the lights. Got tired of living out there. He wanted to go see the lights. So now, in ancient worlds, in that culture, that son would have, he probably would have been maybe in his teens, probably single. And he was authorized, or he could get one third of what his father had. But here's the problem. He wasted the things that his father gave him. What did he do? He wasted it. He wasted it. He bought things that were temporary. He spent things on his friends. He spent his money on fast women. He spent his money on drinking, going out, throwing his money away. All those things are temporary. And I got to tell you something, if you hadn't already figured this out about so-called friends. Friends are great. They're wonderful. So-called friends, until you run out of money. Amen? When you run out of money, you run out of friends. Just something to think about. Amen? And that's what this young man, he came to the point where he ran out of money. And his friends all left him. And that's all he had, you know. He got gifts, but he squandered them. So I wonder today, are we wasting the possessions that God has given us? What about the gift that he's given you? Each one of us, I don't know what it is. He's given you something. Something to help you along the way. Something you contribute to the body of Christ. Something that you could contribute to your family. But sometimes I think we squander what the Lord has given us. You know what, folks? It's time for us to consider a different path. A different path to use the gift that God has given us. If God has given you a gift, he gave it to you for a purpose of edifying the church and to helping you and to your family, not for selfish ambition. So it's time for a rebuild. Now, you know what, folks? I got to confess, I guess there's a little prodigal in all of us. Amen? We all kind of want to take off and go the other way. The temptation comes, and by golly, we want to take off. My story when I was growing up, I just couldn't wait to get out from under my dad's thumb. I say that's it. I got to get out. I'm joining the military, and I'm getting out of here. Of course, I went from that to under another thumb, but I didn't figure that out till much later. But we all in a hurry to get out of there and leave home. Got to get out there in the world. But you know what, folks? It's pretty hard out there sometimes. Amen? This is what this young man, he found out. He found out the hard way that things were not exactly as he thought they were. So one of the things what happened in Luke 15, 17 through 21, he did something. He started to rebuild. And that's what we have to do. When we want to start things anew, we want to become more like Jesus, more forgiving, and we need to start a rebuild. And this is one of the things that he did. He says he finally came to himself. Now, I can just imagine this young man sitting hungry, alone somewhere, maybe crying his eyes out, saying, you know what? I am a knucklehead, you know? My father's got all these things. He's got plenty of food. He's got everything. Look at me. I can't even eat what the pigs eat. Now, I tell you, folks, for a Jewish person, that's about as low as you can get. Amen? When you start to eat pork, that's a definite no-no. But he had to come to himself. And this is what he did. He decided to return and try to make things right. And I could just see him probably talking to himself, you know, how he would apologize to his father. And in many ways, the prodigal son gives us a perfect example of repentance and confession. You see, he had to quite literally turn away and move back to the father, to righteousness. You know what, folks, as we become great bridge builders, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. But I got to say, sometimes the mistakes that we make, they can cause damage. And it's important for us to recognize our mistakes and make things right as much as we have the power to do so. It's important for us to follow our blueprints, to learn the plans, and employ every good tool that the Father has given us. But warning, bridge building is not for the faint of heart. It's no easy or simple task. And you know what? It's going to cost you. Some folks in your family is not going to like you for that. Some folks may even turn against you. But this is the way of Christ. You see, bridge building may be hard, but it's worth doing and celebrating. And if it wasn't, would God have sent his only son to die on your behalf? You know, I try to imagine that any time a bridge, a divine bridge, is built or rebuilt, there's a great rejoicing in heaven. And I know it can't be hard. It's kind of hard to imagine how it looks in heaven. But it's not difficult to imagine the scene we read about at the end of our prodigal son passage. You see, in those verses, we get the perfect ending. Now, the father could have very easily slammed the door in his son's face and says, hey, you made your bed, go lay in it, you know? I gave you that and you threw it away, you know? Go make it on your own, you know? The beautiful part here is the mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace that he showed, that the father showed. And I got to tell you, folks, some of us, our lives may be in shambles. It may be broken, and we may be just like the prodigal son. But I thank God for his precious son, Jesus, the greatest bridge builder, who died for our sins so that we can come home. I tell you what, folks, it feels good to come home. Amen? Especially when you've been away from your family for a while. And the father is there. They're opening has his arms open, welcoming you in. You know, and not just listen to what this father did. I like this. He didn't just welcome me in and hug him. What did he do? Oh my goodness! He threw him a party of parties, the party of parties. Jesus responds the same way for each of us. No matter how far that we might walk away, and oh boy, we can go down some roads, when we come to our senses and come home, I'm wondering this morning, are you coming to your senses this morning? Are you realizing that it's time for you to come home? That you've been wandering out there in the world for so long and you've lost the way, but thank God he's telling you this morning to come on home. The grace and mercy Jesus shows us and is the greatest example of how we should respond to one another. You see, one thing about Jesus, he doesn't say, okay, Ted, I told you not to do that. You know, okay, I told you. Point the finger at it. We're good at finger pointing, amen? We'd like to do that. But that's not the way of Jesus. Jesus, he doesn't shame us with all our wrongdoing. He doesn't point his fingers and say, see, I told you so. He welcomes us and restores us and helps us onto the path of righteousness. So now, this morning, here's my challenge to you. First of all, are you willing to recognize your wrongdoing and the potential hurt that you may have caused? And then, are you willing to return in humility to the family? Are you willing to ask for help? Or are we just too stubborn or too prideful? And Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Can we turn from our own ways and put our hands to building bridges rather than digging wider ditches for us to fall in? And the second thing is this. How will you respond when others will come to you to seek reconciliation and forgiveness? Will you respond like the father did? Or will you get mean and tell them to go away? You know, you hurt me and I'm, by golly, I'm going to get you back too. You know. Now that way might make sense to the world, but that is not the way of Jesus. And dear ones, we are the children of God. And we just don't act that way. Amen? But let me say it this way. We shouldn't be acting that way. We should be acting the way Jesus does. You see, and I know this is a hard saying here. In Christ, we are to welcome those who hurt us. Oh, my goodness. We are to welcome their apologies and offer forgiveness for them. You know what? I might forgive you. But I'm going to always remember what you do to me. You know, that's not forgiveness, is it? No, that's saying, okay, for the moment, but I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you back. You see, just like our Heavenly Father forgave us, We ought to forgive others. We ought to build bridges, throw parties, and celebrate when someone, anyone, is willing to travel the path of repentance and grace. I pray this morning that our response will be like the one this dear father did in this story. You know, he turned around and he gave his son mercy and grace. He didn't give him what he deserved, but he gave him what he needed. I'm not through yet. I'm not through yet. Folks, in our families, they're the most important. The family is the most important thing to the Lord. It is. It really is. And when there is an issue in our families, our family, talking about the church family as well, then we have problems. Amen? We cannot go forward. We cannot go forward in the Lord if there's problems. There's no someone that you're holding a grudge or something, you know, something you don't like, and you know, you just, or whatever. This story was given to us for a reason. We are here on this corner, and I say it just about every Sunday. We are here for a purpose. We have a mission, and that mission is to be bridge builders in this community. But I want us to start right here at Alamo, to build those bridges right here, right here, right here among us, so that we may be able to be the witness, to be the light that Jesus has for us. And one of the things that I love the Lord so much for, and I don't know about you, but I have this verse highlighted in my Bible. It's 1 John 1, verse 9. And Jesus said, if you sin, and if you ask for forgiveness, what did he say? He says he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is, if you got an issue or if there's sin in your life and you want to get rid of it, you can't. You're going to have to give it to Jesus. And during the altar call this morning, during the altar call, why don't you take the Lord up on that verse? Look at it. Look at it when you get a chance. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. And what's that second part? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We follow the greatest bridge builder that ever walked this earth. He is now at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you, for me, for all our problems and issues. We follow him. That is what we do. That is what we should be doing. So, as I close this morning, remember this. You're not in this by yourself. I know it's hard to love some folks. I know it is. I have a problem with it too sometimes. But you know what, folks? As me and Tessie was talking the other night, that we, me and you, hon, we have to be examples to our congregation. We must be examples. So my wife and I, we try to be the best example that we can. Now, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. And I got my little attitudes and my little moods. I'm sure everybody else does. And I have to go out on the patio and get myself together. But that's all right. That's all right. We come on back. And I say, hon, you know, I shouldn't have said what I said or whatever, you know. What I'm telling you this is, sometimes you're going to have to wave the right flag and the peace. What's that thing, a piece of that song, that what's the name of that flower that we use for peace? Is it the lily? It's the other one for the Lent season. He comes around. The olive branch, I can't. They laid it on his feet as he, palm branches. We want to wave the palm branch. Say, hey, you know, I'm sorry. I want to make peace. I want to make peace. That person may tell you to get out of my face, go away, leave me alone. I don't ever want to see you again. You can't do nothing about that. Amen? But you have made the effort to say, I'm sorry. this morning, would you make the effort? You see, Jesus wants us to be intentional. He wants to be people of action. You don't want us to sit back and say, okay, well, you know, he wants us to do something about it. This morning, you have the chance to do something about it. Now, you don't have to tell me anything. You don't have to confess anything to me. But you do have to confess it to the Lord. Amen? I am only the messenger. I'm the one that's telling you and trying to show you and help you on the road, your journey on this earth and headed toward the Master. So this morning, the altar is open for anyone who wishes to come. Anyone who may have something on their heart. Anyone that may be hurting, may have an issue that they just don't understand. Now is the time. Don't leave here and carry that mess back with you. Don't do that. More burdens. Lay your burdens down here at the altar. And if you're one who don't know the Lord, oh my goodness, why don't you get into the ark before it's too late? We're studying the ark in Oasis Bible Study. And we talked about there were just those eight people and those animals. Why don't you get in the ark? And that ark this morning is Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your life and to show you the way. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he hold you close ever so. May he make his presence known to you today. And may he get a hold of your heart and just won't let you go. The altar is open for anyone who wishes to come.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? It's me, O Lord.
It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Hallelujah, Lord, it's me. It's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer.
Let us prepare our hearts for prayer this morning. And this morning, if you want to have prayer, I want you to come to the altar. Come to the altar. And if you want to stand in prayer for someone that's sick, that's not here, I would just, the altar is open to come up for prayer. Now, let me say this about prayer. Prayer is your weapon. Your weapon. It is a weapon that the Lord wants you to use. And we don't use it nowhere enough. He is more willing to hear from us than we are to hear from him. So, if you need prayer, would you come up to the altar? And then we'll all pray together. Or if there's someone in your family that's not here and you want prayer, would you please come up to the altar and we'll all pray together. Amen. Amen. he's 22 days old, and he's in the hospital on oxygen in ICU. His name is Theodore Kiersey. Please put him on your prayer list as well. Amen. Amen. Could we have some of the other saints? I don't have the ministers here. Could someone else, prayer warrior, come up with these others and maybe just be with them and just, you know, just encourage them and let them know the prayer. Somebody that likes to pray. Someone that prays, that likes to pray. Could you come up and pray with these dear folks? Amen. We give thanks to you, O Lord. We thank you for each one that are at this altar, Lord. You know their hearts and you know their minds. You know what's going on in their lives. All of them are seeking healing, seeking comfort, seeking peace. We lift them up before you right now, Lord. We lift up Elaine Bixler, Tom Kincaid. We lift them up before you, Lord. Lord, we lift up Alice Tyler. We lift up Esther Berryman. Oh, Lord, those that are on our sick and shut-in list, please help them right now, Lord. Miss Sandy Bundick, Lord. Lord, she's been so faithful trying to come to church. But, Lord, you know her heart. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for dear Martha, Lord, who got her knee fixed and she's coming on. She's coming on to church. We thank you. For Les and Gerda, Lord. Faithful members who've always been here. Bless them, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for dear Bonnie. We thank you, Lord, how you blessed her and you keep her going and all that she's been through. And not just her, Lord. All of us have been through some things. And we ask right now, Lord, for your mercy, for your grace, for your touch on each and every one of us right now, Lord. And I ask right now, Lord, you be with my dear wife. That, Lord, that you would strengthen her. And not just her, Lord, but all the rest who are hurting this morning. We pray for those with children. Amy, Jerry, Angel. We pray for those that have grandkids, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, that don't have children, that don't have anybody, Lord. Ask us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be the family for them. We pray for them, for dear Jim, Lord. Lord, he struggles so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for him, Lord. We thank you for his dear wife, Linda. We pray for Jim Whitney, Lord. Lord, keep him going. Give him peace. We pray for dear Kathy, Lord, who we can't seem to get a hold of. But, oh, Lord, I know that you love her. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to reach our hands out. We pray for this dear choir, Lord, that singing their hearts out. We pray for our director, our accompanist, our piano player. Continue to bless them, Lord, as only you can. For those dear Sunday school teachers, for Sergio, for Homer, for Charlotte and Peggy and Harriet, thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the work they do. And we lift up dear Jan. Oh, Lord, she tried so hard. Just bless them, Lord, and help them. For Annie, Lord, as she takes care of the dear children. Lord, I can't remember everybody, but they're all on my heart. And we ask right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would grant them their wishes. And we ask this in his dear name. Amen. Would you stand with me for the benediction? I don't know about you, but the Lord touched my heart this morning. I don't know about you. And I trust that you will leave here better spiritually than when you came in. Amen? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he always put his arms around you and hold you close to him as only he can. And help us, Lord, to remember that we belong to you. We don't belong to the world. The world has no claim on us. We are your children. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I didn't mention one person, and I want to. For our dear friend Ed Miles, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that he's able to help us, and he's not even a member. We thank you, Lord, for him. And we pray right now, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in his heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is The Church's One Foundation.
The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ the Lord. Saints there.